Now, this is weird. I have done some freaky shit.
Hey, boys, I have a headache.
That makes absolutely no goddamn sense whatsoever.
Movies in the Buff.
Hello, and welcome to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite movies. Here's your team of debauchery. We have the lovely Lisa.
You follow the signs, Candyman.
And Carl.
Hi, I'm Death, and I'll be knocking over the dominoes you set up during tonight's chain reaction, slice and dice, gore porn.
And I'm Rod. And today we have Final David R. Ellis Movie. Or,
what?
I mean, Final Destination 2. On a road trip with friends to Daytona Beach, Kimberly, played by A.J. Cook, has a premonition that saves everyone from a freak car accident. But that's just the beginning. Visions of the crash of Flight 180 haunt her, and she must seek counsel of a survivor, Allie Larder, for help. It seems a wave of death has been unleashed, and disaster is chasing each of her pals. Can Kimberly stop this horror, or has their fate already been determined? Starring Allie Larder, A.J. Cook, Michael Landis, a bunch of other people I've never heard of, and directed by David R. Ellis. Now do you get the David R. Ellis joke?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, we'll be starting tonight, of course, with Buffing at 6 Degrees, where I take an actor from this movie and an actor from our last movie, and our audience has to connect them in 6 movies or less. Today will be Britt Robertson and A.J. Cook.
This was a fun one.
Yeah, it was.
You kind of got to dig deep for it, though.
Yeah, and you can always answer those by posting on Google Plus or Facebook or emailing us. Into our roundtable, guys. Final distance.
Hang on a second. Before we get into the roundtable, I have to apologize. I sound like crap because I have a cold.
Yeah, lovely Lisa has a lovely cold, making her sound like Howard the Duck.
It's not a lovely cold. It stinks. I hate colds.
That movie's got to get added to our list now.
It really does. Anyway, yeah. Okay. Final Destination 2. My first note was weird head.
My first note is intro is a recap of the first movie. Did that movie really need a sequel so closely tied to the plot of the original? I mean, seriously.
Actually, okay, just for the record, I love the tie-in in this movie. I thought it was actually really original. You know, death going backwards to the new survivors because of the ripple effect.
Yeah, I kind of liked that, but, you know, again, did the first movie, did it really need to be tied this closely? I mean, I kind of would have liked them to get away from, you know, tying them all together, because, you know, it worked okay in this one, and then, you know, they kept making the movies.
Yeah.
And so the tie-ins get farther and farther apart, and I kind of would have just liked to have seen them, you know, be isolated incidents.
Yeah. After this movie, yeah, I agree with you, but I thought this was definitely one of the better sequel tie-ins. For the whole catching up with the last movie scene, I realize now that this joke that I wrote down will not work because I grew up in the tail end of the Pokemon era.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to deal with all of the commercials of gotta catch 'em all.
Mm-hmm.
And, I have on here, the audience gotta catch 'em up. But then I thought about that and I was like, that's just not gonna work at all.
By the way,
mm-hmm.
Howard the Duck on streaming on our list.
All right. Look sleeping hottie. I don't remember much about the beginning of the scene. Oh yeah.
Okay. This is question.
Mm-hmm.
How many of you are paranoid enough to know that there is going to be a spider crawling on you?
Hmm?
Yes, there was a spider crawling all over her room, including on her.
Hmm.
I didn't catch that at all.
I was too busy, you know. I was too busy listening to the two jokers on the news program, you know, ribbing it, or talking about Flight 180. And you know.
Okay, I feel bad about this because, you know, come to find out, most of the news people in this movie were actual, you know, news people.
Yeah.
From Vancouver, but my one thought through watching this whole movie is the newscasters on Family Guy are better than these guys. And of course, now realizing that they weren't actually acting kind of helps.
Yeah. But yeah, so we get a big recap of the whole first movie.
Yeah.
That, and she's in the form of one of those late night news programs, news talk shows that she's sleeping through on the couch, and she wakes up for the end of it.
And who else hates, like, at this point? I almost wanted, if I hadn't been reviewing this movie, I would have turned it off just because of the filming.
I hated
the photography in this movie. It was grainy.
Really?
It was shaky. Like, even in this first scene, it was grainy and shaky and just nasty.
You must have been having problems with your bandwidth, because it's actually not.
Yeah.
I think you were having bandwidth issues, because when your bandwidth slows down on Netflix, it lowers the quality of the stream.
Really?
So that you don't buffer as much.
But see, I don't think that was it.
Yeah, because this movie's not grainy at all. And at least not that I noticed.
I was going to go back and play it, but I don't want to
mess
with all of that. I might have to change like half of my notes throughout the show now, because a lot of my bitching was about the photography, which in general, the photography in this movie to me was just bad. Like, I didn't like the angles. I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I'm a big, you know, what's the director of photography doing here and here, and what is he trying to portray here? And
yeah.
So.
Now, I will say the angles on all their stunts were excellent, though.
Most of them, yes. But a lot of that was your special effects rather than your photography doing that. Mm. You know, a lot of it was CG. And
not much of it, though. I mean, some of it was green screen a little bit, but, you know, it was... It seemed like it was just enough CG to actually get the effect that they wanted.
But anyways, then you have the blonde best friend that you think is going to be the slutty girl through the whole movie.
Oh, yeah,
she's
awesome.
So disappointed. But I actually have on here blonde. Huh?
Whips, change, handcuffs, condoms.
I loved it. And I love the way she talked to her dad. But I actually have on here Blondie can keep an eye on me any day.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. God, she was hot. Who was that chick, anyway? She died in the first, like, 20 minutes of the movie. Not even 20 minutes.
That's a good question.
I, for some reason, have Wikipedia up.
It is Sarah Carter.
Sarah Carter.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's her from Dead or Alive, Shark, and Pledge This are her known fours.
I never saw Dead or Alive. Kept meaning to.
Yeah.
Huh, with James Woods.
She's known for, one of her known fours is Final Destination 2.
Yeah, I just was pointing out earlier when you were doing the 6 degrees, you were trying to connect through James Woods.
Yeah.
There you go, right there. Anyway, but then you got the transmission fluid leak that looks like blood. Ooh, it's ominous.
Yeah.
Talk about foreshadowing there.
Oh. At this
if
point,
you didn't catch it in the first, you know, credit lines, talk about foreshadowing with the transmission fluid.
Well, that's one of the things that I really like about the Final Destination series in general.
Trying to catch up on the foreshadowing. Yeah, I get that. But my problem was, is that this transmission fluid leak foreshadowing thing, this director or writer, actually, I believe he did both, if I remember right.
No. The writers were not the director.
Were the writer? Okay. So this writer or director, whoever's responsible for this transmission fluid leak foreshadowing incident, is about as subtle with his foreshadowing as my balls are in a sorority house.
Mm-hmm.
No, too bad you're not in the room, Rod. I'd have to pinch you to wake you up.
No, and it's just the fact that I'd walk into the house and immediately my balls would not be subtle.
You're dreaming again.
Anyway.
Then we get to the vision.
Okay, of course we get to the vision, but does anybody else love the pale ale truck?
Oh, yeah.
That cracked me up. I laughed through most of the vision.
Pale ale truck?
Yeah, the beer truck that the guy with the driver who's drinking.
Oh, drink responsibly. Got it.
Yeah, but the brand of alcohol is pale ale.
Yeah.
Which actually does exist.
It does. I just
pale ale is a brand of beer, so. Yeah, so we've got the vision of her pile up, which I gotta say was, I think, actually probably more seamless than the original.
Yeah, it really was. It was that was actually really well streamed into. Praise them for that.
And that's another thing that I'll give this, you know, whole franchise credit for is the initial vision that kicks off the movie is always really seamless.
Nah, I disagree with you. Three was really bad.
I don't remember.
Like three was really obvious. The roller coaster.
See, I don't really remember the vision.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't one of their better ones.
No, it was very, very obvious. This one was incredibly seamless. Then you've got the one thing that cracks me up is the friends, the two guys in the back seat. Because of that whole douchebag vibe they're kicking off through the whole thing. And I'm looking at the two chicks in the front seat, right? And the two douchebags in the back seat. And I'm thinking, that doesn't happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and is it me or does the pothead guy? He looked familiar to me, but I can't find his name on here.
He the chubby looked, one?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me see what I can find.
The one who said, "Do you know how much weed I've got on me?"
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. He did look familiar. I agree with you on that.
He looked like what's his name from Lost Boys? Crap.
I think we just disagreed on that one.
Yeah. Crap, I can't think of what the kid's name is now. Who are the two kids that share the same first name? They're all Corey.
Corey Haim.
Right. And I always get the two of them confused, but the one who is actually one of the brothers. Not one of the Vampire Slayers, but the other Corey.
That's Corey Haim.
Yeah, Corey Haim is the one he kind of reminded me of.
It's not him because
I know it's not him. Yeah, I know it's not him, but he kind of reminds me of him.
Corey Haim was not in Goonies.
No, Corey Feldman was in
Goonies. Corey Feldman. But that's okay, because everybody gets those two confused. Corey Feldman is the one that did a bunch of coke and is still alive.
Yeah. Corey Haim is the one who did a bunch of coke and is not still alive.
Exactly. Which he died not too long ago, because he was in Crank 2.
Yeah.
So, and he really looked bad towards the end. Big old beard gut, mullet thing going on. It was really disturbing. But, then you've got the cokehead. I'm sorry, but I love the cokehead through the whole movie. Like, he just cracked me up. But I love it when the cop passes by and he sticks it down and sticks his coke down between his legs. Then after the cop's gone, he's like, "Bust me, bitch." But awesome death scene. Movie's over. Let's watch something else.
Yeah.
That was. Now, granted, I warmed up to this movie throughout it. But
here he is. I found him. He's Alejandro Rey.
Okay.
Which is a strange name for such a white boy.
Yeah, it really is. Alejandro Rey.
Yeah, he doesn't have a picture on IMDb. But if you Google him, you come up with pictures of him from this.
I see.
But yeah, he was in Blade Trinity too.
Okay.
I don't really remember him from. And apparently Smallville, strangely enough.
Probably one of the frat guys that was drinking in that one scene with Lana.
Eh, who knows. But anyway, so we get through our vision, which I gotta say, the car accident was actually really cool.
It was really well done. I loved it when the tree trunk goes through, or the log goes through the cop.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Like right off the bat.
Like best death in the whole movie right there. Well, that or the barbed wire later on with a cokehead.
Oh, yeah. See, I like the barbed wire, but I also am really kind of partial to the plate glass.
Yeah, I kind of liked that one myself.
That was cool.
Yeah, that's always been that and the barbed wire have always been the two coolest effects to me in this movie.
I also liked how the motorcyclist died.
Yeah, the black guy. Token.
Yeah, Token.
Anyway, I'm sorry, that was racist. But anyway, then the vision's over. Cop dives out of the way with chick. Truck takes out the whole fucking car full of stoners. And all I could say...
Well, I don't know. That chick in the front seat probably... The blonde in the front seat probably wasn't a stoner.
Probably not. But all I could think at this moment is, your friends are dead.
Oh, man. Then we get, you know, we get out of our vision scene and we get to our validation where, you know, she's realizing that she actually did just see the future, which, yeah, again, is a staple of the Final Destination series. And this one was kind of shaky for me. I mean, everything else starts out real good and, you know, she gets flipped out, or she sees the school bus go by, and then she hears this stuff on the radio, and then she freaks out and makes her decision to change the future. Uh-huh. But from that point on, like, the timeline always seemed really shaky to me, because, you know, you see the you know, she's talking to the cop for a few minutes, and then you see the semi go by, and she sees the semi and she's pointing at it, and, you know, all these other cars that she's already seen, all the other stuff go by, and then, like, she's like, that's the car, blah blah blah, and he goes to talk to her, and then the accident happens, like, in a split second later.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, how did that happen? How does that work? Because that's not the way it happened the first time.
Yeah. That was one of the many times that I was like, and that's something that happens in a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you almost have a time jump on these.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After the premonitions. The first one did really well as far as the amount of time they took in between,
yeah,
you know, the vision and the explosion. But after that, it was a lot of, almost all of them are just like, I have the premonition. Okay, it all happened. And then all of a sudden, boom, it happens again. But anyway, then you got the death of the friends and,
yeah,
the interrogation premonition.
And of course everyone thinks you're crazy, because you are freaking nuts. Ugh. You know, you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but you guys are going to think I'm crazy. I do not want to count the number of times this chick said, you guys are going to think I'm crazy.
Yeah.
She does keep repeating that over and over.
Well, we all know what Dr. Sweets would say.
Hmm?
Dr. Sweets, never mind.
I know where you're at, but I'm not sure what joke you're going with.
It's just a psychologist joke thing. Yeah.
Oh.
It's a joke that didn't work out. It's okay, people. We're moving on. But, and I love the black guy's ghost story.
Oh, yeah.
That was the most fucked up thing ever. But,
I kind of like his evil laugh, you know. His,
dude, his voice.
That was a great laugh.
It was.
Yeah, it really was. But no, and at this point, and throughout probably most of the movie up until his death, I was trying to decide if he was a dick or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could not decide.
I think he was supposed to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
If it was actually written to be where you were teetering the whole time, then kudos.
Yes.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
I just think
the only one I could think of that was a bitch was the chick who was smoking cigarillos the entire time up until her death.
And she wasn't so much a bitch as she was just she was the prototypical overachieving career woman.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, I consider them as much of a bitch. It's either that or she was just a snob.
1-star reviews from overachieving career women. Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, our show is called Movies in the Buff. We have an explicit rating. Have you seen our tagline? How many overachieving career women are listening right now?
I hope there's at least 3 or 4.
Yeah, okay.
You can send your emails, too.
There you go.
Not all overachieving career women are bad. That one was.
Yeah, fair enough.
Then we get everybody home and we get to see Evan's digs. And I gotta say, first thing I buy after I win the lotto, I buy a house.
Yeah, not an iMac.
I'm not staying at the Rat Hole apartment. Well, I'd probably buy an iMac too. Well, maybe, maybe not.
See, when was this movie made
again? No, you would be buying an iMac, but that was about the same day she bought the house.
Yeah, I was making a lot of jokes about the iMac, just for the record.
Eh. Actually, that iMac looked kind of sweet, especially for 2003.
For 2003, yeah. But anyway.
Well, I know you. You would buy a house to stick all your stuff in, and you would buy an iMac on the same day.
Probably, yeah.
Then we get the, ooh, creepy wind.
Mm-hmm.
There's something going to happen here. And there was a lot of premonitions.
Always.
I didn't catch in this scene.
There's a ton of them.
Yeah, there are a ton of premonitions. But I love the he throws out the spaghetti.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm trying to figure out is when the house starts catching on fire, why does he go after the ring first?
The house hadn't started catching
fire
yet.
I'm sorry, but the he did realize, you know, that the metal in the microwave is going to pop.
Mm-hmm.
No, he didn't see the metal in the microwave.
Oh, it had already popped.
He drops the ring down the ring. Or down the drain.
Exactly. But then he goes for the ring instead of stopping the microwave first.
It hadn't popped yet. Or, well, it had popped, but he didn't realize what it was. And every once in a while, your food in the microwave will just pop anyway, even if there is no metal.
Yeah, but I don't know. Yeah. This guy seemed dumb as a box of rocks.
Mm. He was.
Yeah, well, hey, it's probably, you know, $1,000 plus golden diamond ring, so. You drop that down the drain, you're going after it, aren't you, Rod?
Not when the house is catching on fire.
It hadn't caught
and
on
not,
fire yet.
And not with a, you know, $3,000 watch on.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Number one to everybody who's listening to the sound of my voice. Okay, do not stick the hand with the gold Rolex on it.
Exactly. Down the drain.
Stick the other hand, one that doesn't have something that'll catch on the drain edge.
Exactly.
Or if you're a woman, take all your rings off first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But he finally gets loose and gets down the fire escape, and all's well and good until he slips on the damn spaghetti and gets impaled by the damn fire escape ladder. And the only thing I can think about this is, it's Death Boy RD.
Did you notice a running in this?
What's that?
That I kind of started to notice it about halfway through this movie. Okay. The premonition or the realization that they get to later on is that, you know, they've already cheated. They cheated death once, sort of, because they got caught up in the deaths of the other survivors of Flight 180, right?
Huh.
Which changed their lives and prevented them from dying back then.
Uh-huh.
And now they've cheated death a second time, so death's coming back and, you know, collecting them all back up, right?
Uh-huh.
Did you notice that every single one of these chain reaction sequences always features a near escape immediately before their death?
Yeah, I did notice that.
Yeah, like they always get real close to getting killed and escape and have pretty much just enough time to say, wow, that was close, and then they get killed.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, I was thinking about that and I actually was trying to figure that one out as to if there was actual meaning behind that or if it was just
the
a
only
way to
one
keep the
I
audience.
Will correct you. The only time I will correct you on that is Tim's mother.
She got rescued. But and she didn't realize she had her near death. She almost got electrocuted in the dentist's office.
It's true.
At the same time.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time that he almost suffocated.
But you've got the coke head and the fence.
I'm thinking that was the car accident, but
closet.
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, no, his near-death
he went to hang that stuff up in the closet. Everything came down on him.
Yeah, but that wasn't part of his chain reaction because it wasn't his turn.
Yeah. But anyways, we'll try to figure. Actually, if anybody wants to list all of these and email them to us, that's a great, great thing for our audience to do. So.
Anytime you guys hear us talking about something you want to add in, it's inthebufffilms@gmail.com. And we will definitely start reading emails just as soon as we start getting some.
Okay, where was I at? Death Boy RD. And then... Did you not catch that a minute ago? I made that joke a minute ago.
I did.
Yeah, that's what I was calling his death, was Death Boy RD.
Oh, dear God.
But...
That boy needs to... Well, I guess it's a little late now, but he really needs to learn how to cook.
Yeah, And then we know, we find out what happened to Alex.
Well, actually, you know, everybody finds out that Evan has been killed. Yeah. So, you know, they're all starting to say maybe the girl's not so crazy after all.
Yeah.
And she sees it and she's like, holy shit, I need to start doing some more research. And that's when we find out what happened to Alex.
Yeah.
And we find out about Claire being in Stony Brook. Uh-huh. Well, we find out again because the cop
had Michael Myers. Before.
Yeah. Moo.
Okay. Wrong.
So we get to go meet Allie Larder. Uh-huh. Who is awesome in this movie.
She looks better as a blonde.
I thought she did good in this movie. Mm-hmm. As far as her acting and everything, I thought that her character was terrible in this movie. Which, just for the way that she was portrayed throughout, it was just pissed me off. You know, I thought it was a great actress getting cornered into a shitty role.
I don't know. I kind of found the role believable. You know, as far as what all she'd been through.
Yeah.
I kind of believed her character.
But before we even do meet Allie Larder and all of that, you go back to you know, the kid and his mom and reading the Stephen King novel.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and the only thing that I have to say about this entire scene, this is the only scene in the whole movie that actually scared me.
Really?
Yeah. That
Why?
Fucking toy clown hanging from the ceiling.
I wasn't paying any attention to it.
Did nobody else see that? That thing was freaky as hell. Who hangs that from their fucking ceiling?
A 15-year-old kid.
A toy clown?
I only saw one clown, and it was in the dark.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was after she turns off his bedroom light.
But that actually gave me the freaking willies.
Because
my note on that said, freaky clown.
Yeah. Mine says fucking clown. But, you know, whatever. But then I forgot who it was, but you see somebody else on a computer. And all I have to say is, I wonder how much Apple paid in this movie, like, for their product placement. Like, I'm pretty sure they funded the whole damn thing.
Actually, that's not uncommon. Every movie that you've seen in the past, I want to say 20 years, but definitely in the past 15, if you'll notice, every computer being used is an Apple product.
Okay.
Anytime you see a computer being used on screen, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be an Apple product.
Yeah, but in a lot of times, there still has to be a deal reached, and the only reason I know that is because in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, they had a scene where Willow was using an Apple computer, an Apple laptop, and she had a post-it note covering the Apple.
Yeah, you see that a couple of times.
Because they couldn't reach a deal on it to show it on the thing. I just remember it in an episode.
Yeah, it's a... It's actually a deal that most of the networks have, but they do almost exclusively work with Apple.
Okay. Well, back to the stereotypical nut house.
You got to remove anything that might cause damage.
Yeah, but here's what I want to know. She is afraid of all of these different things, and several chemicals were listed in that list. But yet she dyed her hair. Not only dyed her hair, but bleached it. From the first movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Technically, bleaching can be done at your own home.
That's not really the point.
The point is, though,
that we're both having is bleach chemicals are awful to be around if you're
trying
fearing
to avoid
death.
Yeah.
Well, I'm also kind of wondering, you know, it's
the TV.
Yeah, it's kind of a continuity issue, but it also could be that her hair is just lightened with, you know, granted not that much, but and then, you know, her hair, she could have had her hair dyed brown in the first place.
That's
which
true.
Is actually what happened, cuz Allie Larder is actually a blonde, I think, isn't
she? Yeah, she is. But the type of highlights and lowlights she had cannot be achieved without chemicals. But
I could suspend disbelief on that one, especially, you know, 3 years after the first movie.
But,
technically, the movies were only a year apart.
Yeah, I know, which is really funny because they were filmed 3 years apart.
Yeah. But she got pretty much two sentences out, and my only thought was, man, I'm missing the whipped cream bikini. go ahead.
I just have this one note, and this is about her whole spiel there in the padded room. Mm-hmm. Anytime Allie Larder explains the facts of life is a good time. It's better if she's showing them.
That's true. Allie, just so that you know, if you ever hear this, you are loved here at Movies in the Buff. You are loved a lot. You could be loved a long time.
You want her to give you $5?
Well, if she thinks it's worth it.
Anyway, so we learn all. So we learn all. Yeah. Claire's whole story.
Yeah, and then it goes to
she's not going to help.
Yeah, and then it goes to the dentist's office.
Yeah. No, first we get Nora and Tim will be attacked by pigeons.
I was just going to skip that. I thought that was just too bad for me to mention, but okay. Wow.
Yeah, and then we get the near-death experience in the dentist's office.
Yeah.
I love that kid's line, though. Does anybody have that for their buff quote?
I almost picked it and didn't because I figured somebody else would.
Yeah. How about you, Lisa? Is that one yours?
Nope.
Go for it.
If I wake up, if he gives me the gas and I wake up with my pants undone, we ain't paying.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Actually, it was if I wake up with my pants open.
Yeah.
I thought it was unbuttoned.
I don't know. It was one of those three.
It was one of those three. We've got three different interpretations of this one.
But it's a callback to, you know, something that we haven't even heard about in the past, you know, 10 years. So.
Yeah.
And you remember when that was a big urban myth, right?
Yeah. And what's really funny is this entire conversation reminded me of a conversation that I would have between my mother and I. Because, mm-hmm. you know, she was the laid-back type that would, yep. you know, that I would say things like that, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that was it. But I love the near-death experiences here.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, what?
Death by fish.
Dude, not even by fish. It was like a dog toy-style rubber fish that falls off of that mobile.
Yeah, and who keeps a mobile like that above a dentist chair? I mean, seriously.
I have been in the dentist office several times, and I have never seen a mobile of any kind above it.
Apparently, this dentist just really likes his tropical fish.
Yeah, what I'm wondering is, with that mobile hanging down as low as it was, how does he get the light in there?
Well, it wasn't actually hanging down all that low. That was the thing. Because, you know, he's tripping out on pure nitrous at this point, so that whole thing just keeps moving closer and farther away.
Because
he's all tripping out.
Fair enough.
I'm trying to figure out how he was still conscious after, you know, 30 seconds of pure nitrous. You go to, you'll pass completely out.
No, I agree with that.
He's been breathing through his mouth.
Yeah,
he couldn't.
Right up until the fish came in.
Yeah, that was the whole point, is he couldn't breathe through his mouth, so he was just getting nitrous for 30 seconds. Actually, it was longer than that.
But fortunately, they managed to catch it in time. I love the expression on that assistant's face.
I'm like, did that happen? That didn't happen.
Is Tim doing all right in there? He's like, oh, fuck.
But so finally, you know, you have that, and he gets killed by the plate glass as he's trying to scare the pigeons when they're trying to stop him from scaring the pigeons.
Yes, and I would just like to know, would you like your Tim-flavored pudding with or without pieces of glass?
Without, please.
Well, we're trying a new drink, Tim-schlager.
Yes, but can we hold the glass?
Yes, shoveled off the Mount Abrams sidewalk just like it was snow.
What does Tim and my soda have in common?
They're served in a glass?
They come with glass and they're flat. Oh, anyway, okay, enough Tim jokes. We're sorry, Tim.
Now Allie takes a field trip.
Yeah, I have, but it's a bird. It's a plane. It's a nice ass blonde with a whipped cream fetish.
Yes. And we're going to go to the mortuary.
Oh, yeah.
And we get to see Candyman again.
No,
I
actually,
think
we.
Out of the.
Oh, yeah.
This is
right
after
Candyman. Yeah.
Yeah, I think out of the first two movies, my favorite part of both of them was seeing Candyman play in it. He does so well.
And, of course.
So creepy, too.
Same guy that played Grange in The Crow. I just have to point that out.
Yeah. By the way, he shows up in the fifth one, too, I just found out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really? Well,
If death is chasing you, who can save you?
The Candyman.
The Candyman can.
Because he mixes it with love. Okay, I need that song out of my head immediately.
But
okay, originally my opening joke was going to be to say Candyman's name 5 times, but
oh, yeah.
Nobody else probably would have got that.
Probably not. There's something I guess I'm just going to have to go back and watch the first movie because I really don't remember him in it.
Yeah, he plays the same mortician.
He is. He was working on Todd.
Yeah, and Alex and Claire go into the mortuary to see Todd's body because he doesn't.
Claire
think...
says before you meet the scene just before you meet these mortician. Claire says it gives me a rush. What? Breaking in? Doing something I'm not supposed to do.
Yeah, because they're breaking into the mortuary to see Tom's body because Alex doesn't think that he committed suicide.
Todd.
Okay. Yeah, it was right after the supposed suicide.
Fair enough. Okay, well,
Which, you know, that brings me back to this whole thing where we started at the beginning. With the guy with the theory and, you know, the urban legend about how everybody died from these really suspicious incidences. Everyone assumes the whole story was that Todd committed suicide. Wouldn't that kind of blow all these theories out of the water?
I think after, you know, a few people die, you start to get
it. I can blow a hole in that. The mortician in the first movie was saying how there was defensive wounds on Todd's hands.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he would have reported that.
That's right.
And we go into the scene with all of the people in the cop's apartment.
Oh, wait, no. Before we do that, we get this whole deal from Candyman about how only New Life can cheat death.
Right. The really cheesy cop-out line.
Yeah, so we get this whole find the pregnant lady thing.
Yeah.
Which is like...
And the pregnant lady,
really?
What freaks me out is I've seen her in like... a bunch of different shows, bunch of, I won't say movies. This is probably the only movie I've seen her in, but she's always pregnant.
Really?
I can think of one TV show where she is not pregnant.
Hmm.
Missing, the one I'm watching now.
Yeah.
In the first season, she was the computer forensic analysis and really good at her job.
Okay.
But she was not pregnant.
She was pregnant in Angel. She was pregnant in ER. She was pregnant in Grey's Anatomy.
Wait. Angel and Grey's Anatomy. Who was she in Angel?
She was.
Oh yeah, she
in
was
season
Joe.
Two.
Yeah. Okay. There's
the
that.
Very first episode of season 2. I'm not sure about the other two. My sister was telling me about those.
Yeah, I'm not seeing her. She's not from Grey's Anatomy. I don't see her.
Oh, okay.
I don't see it listed.
Maybe it was ER.
Oh, wait. No, there it is. Yeah, she was in an episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, and she was pregnant.
But no, she ran... she was in 6 Feet Under for a long time, like 42 episodes of 6 Feet Under, which I think is the full run of the show. She was in AI. I don't remember exactly who she played in that.
Mm-mm. Everybody was in AI at some point.
Yeah, God, that movie took forever.
I know.
But, yeah, she's been in a lot of stuff. Sure. Oh, she was in Bones. It's not an episode of Bones. She does a lot of...
Bones.
She does a lot of guest TV stuff and a lot of reoccurring roles.
Yeah. But anyway, so finally, you go back into where they're explaining what's going on to everybody else, because they still can't find the pregnant chick, but yet they decide to have another meeting before doing that.
Yep, meeting of the Walking Dead.
I like it. But this is the point where I decided I like the cop.
Yeah.
Like, this is where he started really growing on me.
No. My favorite reaction here is from Claire. Should have seen that one coming.
Yeah.
Right.
My favorite reaction is from the overachieving businesswoman. Can we go find the pregnant lady now?
Yeah.
I like that'll be an easy conversation to have.
Yeah. I like her one at the beginning where she starts freaking out. She's like, this cannot be happening now because my career is in a really good place and I just met this great guy.
I'm sorry like for that
somebody
guy.
Somebody smacked this chick.
But,
I think Tim's mother wanted to smack her.
What cracked me out about the career woman is that, you know, she's the one who had a Valium.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was completely in character.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Does anybody have a Valium? Oh, yeah, here. You'll only want to take half of that.
Keep them coming.
Yeah. Just for the record, at this point in the movie, the Cokehead has actually snorted more Coke than I have in my whole life, and that's saying a lot.
Yeah, like every time he comes on scene, you see him doing some.
Jeez.
Shoot, his death scene, he just got through doing some.
Yeah, and I love it when the black guy calls bullshit. Like, not only does he do this with a lot of style, but I'm sitting there looking at it. This is a horror movie, and you're the only black guy. You're dead anyway.
Yep.
And hey, at least you didn't die first.
That's true.
He died like last.
Well, after 2001.
Well, yeah, technically it was last.
Yeah. Him and Ellie Larder. Yeah. But after 2001, they started trying to shy away from the black guy dies first, you know, trope.
I kind of got to climb up on a little bit of a soapbox here, though.
Especially
with this scene. And it's something that, you know, I've thought a lot, that I think all the time, but it really stood out in here. This is one of the problems with a belief in the afterlife, is that it breeds fatalism. And this mother is a prime example. That whole, if it's time for me to go to heaven to be with my son and my husband, then I'm ready. And that's just stupid to me. You know, it's just one of those things. It's like, this life is what you've got. Keep it.
I
will agree to disagree.
Yeah, I have not decided on my personal belief of, fate and fatalism. So I'm kind of straddling the fence until I make a decision on that.
Yeah, but it's just one of those things that, it's like, yeah, okay, you can think maybe you're going to a better place, but if it gets to the point where, you want to go to that better place, then you got to step back and look and say, hey, I've got no evidence that this actually exists. Maybe it's all in my head. This is what you got. You know you got this. Keep what you got.
Wow.
A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Come on, people. Seriously.
So, why would you... Never mind. Ellie Larder had a bird in the hand in this movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, then you got the creepy guy with lots of prosthetic limbs. Hey. Why was he...
He seemed familiar to me, too.
No, that's not even my problem. What I'm trying to figure out is, why was this guy in an elevator in an apartment complex with two hands... having a bunch of prosthetic hands.
Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure. I'm not sure whether they were, actual human prosthetic hands or whether they were for, like, mannequins. Whether they were, like, mannequin hands or something.
I'm going to go with actual human prosthetic hands because of the variety that he did have.
Yeah.
The hooks and the full hand shape and all of that.
I'm not entirely sure. Oh, here's the name.
Either way.
He's actually listed as Man with Hooks in the credits.
Nice.
John Taylor. Oh, from The Watchmen and Sucker Punch.
Nice.
And Freddy Got Fingered.
Worst movie. That was the movie that made me never be able to look at Rip Torn again the same way.
Yeah. I've never been a big fan of Tom Green films in general.
I really haven't either. And can you believe Disney produced one with him in it?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I can't even figure out how that's supposed to go. But We know they'll never do one with William Shatner, so it's okay. Anybody who knows why? Just curious.
No.
William Shatner's Jewish.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what the hell does that have to do with anything?
Walt Disney was an anti-Semite.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't know what that has to do with, you know, Disney Company now, but that's what it had to do with Disney Company then.
That's true. Anyway, because I wanted a reason to make a Jewish joke, I was building up to it and you just cut me off right there at the knees.
1-star reviews from Jewish people?
I love Jewish people.
You know, if we actually got 1-star reviews from all these people we're supposed to get 1-star reviews from, we would be in the toilet in the ratings right now.
It's true. That is true.
On the other hand, we don't have any 5-star reviews either because nobody reviews us.
Have any reviews? Yeah. So if anybody wants to go on iTunes and give us a review, just be honest. I mean, we're just kind of curious to hear what you think about us.
Yep.
Anyway, okay, so mom dies, and I gotta say is the prosthetic limbs that are supposed to be prosthetic limbs still look more realistic than that head.
That's true.
Did. You don't ever see her head after it's
you
seven.
Do. Yes, you do.
Oh, I didn't.
One second.
It came down, it showed the black guy with the glasses, and it pans down onto the floor, and you see her head.
Huh.
Yeah, and the only thing, this is the only time that the special effects are absolutely terrible in this movie.
Well, I missed it.
No, there is one other time when you see her body.
No, her body actually looked really cool. Good.
Yeah, it was pretty well done. But, anyway, so then you have,
the black guy goes nuts, and we have 6 misfires in a row.
Yeah. How does that happen?
Yeah.
I mean, he asked the same thing, but I still want to know. I cannot imagine the actual chance of 6 misfires in a row.
Yeah.
Like, the actual probability of this.
A million
we're
gonna
it's far beyond that. But
unless his ammunition had gotten wet or something,
We're gonna need C-3PO.
Yeah.
So the possibility of navigating an asteroid field is approximately. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm done.
You're done.
Everybody, this is where you find out about the tie-in of 180.
Yep.
Flight 180, and
how everybody was. How all their lives were affected by the survivors.
Once again, I just have to reiterate, I do like the originality in this tie-in.
Yeah, although the one with the black guy was kind of shaky.
What do you mean?
His tie-in? Because what he said was that a kid brought a knife to school and killed his teacher, and that teacher would have been him, except he had just gotten a new job teaching at Mount Abrams. And that had to do with the teacher dying, not with the teacher surviving. So his life wasn't affected by her surviving.
I agree with that. Now, if he had said that he had been fired or moved to something else or something like that, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't recall.
Or if it had happened, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how that would work, but that was the one that was really shaky.
If it had tied in as well as the career woman's tie-in.
Yeah.
All the rest were really well done.
Yeah, that was a really good tie-in. The whole being on the bus that flattened Tammy.
Uh-huh.
Terry.
I don't know. I can't keep all these damn names straight.
What bothers me, though, is if Death was, like, had this planned out and everything, why would the bus have flattened her if there was someone already supposed to die on his list on the bus that was going to be stopped? Do you see where I'm going with this?
I see where you're going with this, but I think the point they're trying to make is that any alterations that he has to do because somebody cheated him is done on the fly, and therefore it ripples out and affects, forced to affect other people.
So this entity, as far as is extremely powerful,
But not omnipotent.
That's where I was going with. Okay.
That's what I was trying to figure out. He's not God is basically what people are saying.
Yeah.
That's what I was trying to figure out, is it's not omnipotent.
But then we get the car crash from hell.
Oh, God. I love this car crash. I love this whole farm scene.
Yeah.
Like, I really did. Because there's so much stupidity going on in this scene to bring everything up to where it's at.
Yeah. A ton of chaos and human stupidity interacting.
And yet again, in a horror movie, a news crew brings deaths because they can't just shut their fucking mouths.
Or, you know, stop ambulance chasing.
Yeah, or stop ambulance chasing. I do like the cocaine. Did anybody have this quote?
Yeah, the throw out all my drugs and porno.
Yeah.
I had that down in my notes. I love that.
Yeah, I loved it. Drugs, paraphernalia, and porno. His bases are covered.
Yeah, anything that'll break my mother's heart.
Yeah. But and the airbag deaths because the stupid fireman doesn't disconnect the battery before using the jaws of life.
Well, that wasn't the deal. You know, why didn't they pull that PVC pipe out before they started trying to cut her out of there to keep her from accidentally impaling herself on
most people in real life, that's the first thing they'd have done.
Yeah.
Or at least, you know, cut it off.
Because then they would have had to come up with a whole different way to kill this chick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question is, when he's going to cut her out, and she says, could you keep it quiet? He says, sure, I'll put it on quiet mode.
Yeah.
She says, that would be good. Was that supposed to be a joke, or was that just human
He was being sarcastic, and she was just... She didn't realize that he was being sarcastic.
Yeah, I think she was just too much in shock to really register what's going on around her. Mm-hmm. And he was being an ass. I'm sorry, but when you've just been in a wreck like that, you don't be sarcastic.
Yeah.
Even I'm a total asshole, and I don't be sarcastic in situations like that.
Mm-hmm. It's the only situation where he won't be sarcastic. But
that's, yeah, just about. But, and just for the record... Does anybody else think... I'm moving on unless somebody wants to stop me here into the hospital scene.
That's where I was headed to.
Okay. The way that Death takes out, you know, the black guy, Token. Mm-hmm. Does anybody else think that they're being... That Death is being just very interactive with this as opposed to all the other deaths where it just kind of nudges very few little things into place?
Yeah, and you
like it's
see
really
that.
Being pushy at this point.
You saw that in the first Final Destination movie too. A couple of times where, you know, there were things that weren't set up to happen; they were just made to happen.
Yeah.
For one of the deaths. What was the one?
The teacher's death.
Yeah, the teacher's death was that one. Was that way? There were a few things that she caused to, you know, that she set up, but a lot of them were actually caused by Death.
Okay.
Fair. It happens. It's one of those things where when they can't come up with a where when they paint themselves into a corner, they can't come up with a real way to make it cool by accident. They make it cool on purpose.
Yeah, fair enough. But then you have, you know, the birth of the kid.
I have a question on. I have a note on that. Do breathing machines actually have backup batteries?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. Not only do you know, the hospitals run on electricity, but they also have backup generators that will keep everything in the ICU wards running for 72 hours. But all of the ventilators and life support equipment also have their own backup battery, which will keep them running for a couple of hours in the case of a loss of power. And that's simply to keep the ICU, the life support machines running in case of a catastrophic power failure.
But,
or in his case, Death is moving his bed and unplugging the machine.
Well, he wasn't moving his bed. He was moving the machine. But yeah.
Yeah, it was really kind of too pushy there, in my opinion. Yeah. But then you have, you know, the baby.
The baby's born and it just isn't enough.
It's a bitch to get out, for the record.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she goes through a pain in the ass moment here. But then, oh, wait a minute, she wasn't supposed to die.
And
I'm sorry, but that was bad.
I love her comment. Who the hell are they?
Yeah. But, you know, if you go back to her original premonition, you don't ever actually see the flower van. You see it get sideswiped by a log, but it doesn't ever actually wreck.
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying it was kind of cheap.
Yeah, but it, You know, it was part of the premonition.
It was a twist worthy of M. Night Shyamalan cheapness.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we...
On the way to the hospital. I'm sorry, I'm going back here for a minute, but I just have to point out. On the way to the hospital, the chick who has these freaky visions that, you know, render her, like, completely useless for a subject amount of time, and she's behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Because that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
that part I was
I'm
just
sorry,
like, what?
Guys, if I'm driving and I know I'm going to have visions, or if I start having visions, I take myself off of driving.
Mm-hmm. Lisa, we just pretty much don't put you behind the wheel ever.
And that's what I'm calling bullshit.
Yeah, we try and keep you out from behind the wheel as much as possible, period. And you don't have visions.
I'm not getting involved in this at all. Just for the record, Carl, you put her behind something.
Yeah, well.
Anyway. Or does she put you behind something? Just curious.
I'm about to put him behind a brick.
I don't need to know about your sex life any more than that. Okay, so then you have...
about sex.
So then we have Kimberly figuring out, you know, what this whole new life thing is all about.
Prior to that, you have Goodbye, Allie.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have to have a moment of silence for Clear...
Clear Rivers.
Clear Rivers, which is a horrible name.
It is a horrible
name. You hippie bastards. Okay,
hey,
anyway.
Hey, anybody watch Shish Kebabs?
Don't you mean Shish Clears? Let's throw another clear on the Bobby, man. Oh, I'm done.
No. Hey,
I can't go on.
Bobby, I need a clean up. I need a clean up of these spilt clears on aisle 5, 6, 7, and 12.
Wow. Have you seen Clear Rivers run? Yeah, through floor 1, 2, and 3. We're going to hell.
Hey, Lakeview Hospital. A Rivers runs through it.
That was good. I like that. Anyway. Okay, so then you got the Get Kalargian or Clargian or what's her name?
Kalargian.
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 You know what I just realized? This is the first movie we've done so far. This is episode 10. First movie we've done so far where I've been able to properly pronounce the director's name.
David R. Ellis.
But I cannot properly pronounce the writer's name, so it's okay.
J. Mackie Gruber, Eric Bress, and Jeffrey Riddick. I can pronounce them, I just can't read them.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, so...
Or talk, apparently.
And you have the bloody hands, because you already had the premonition about the bloody hands. Mm-hmm. And I'm just done at this. At this point, I was done. Like,
yeah, well,
I was like, the movie's been made. It's over.
Yeah, and this one I did have a big problem with because, you know, she drives the ambulance into the lake, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the ambulance sinks and he dives in after her. Okay, the average human being can hold their breath for about a minute or better.
Uh-huh.
And the human body can survive for 3 seconds with absolutely no oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
So once she actually drowns, it still takes 3 seconds to die. This whole scene doesn't last, you know, over a minute and a half.
Yeah.
So there's no way she should have been able to drown in the less than a minute and a half it took for the ambulance to hit the lake and for him to pull her out of the water.
Well, I'm gonna say
actually.
Go ahead.
Technically, it did. You never see him actually break the window that he was trying to hit with his gun.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm going to suspend disbelief and call it a time shift.
Yeah, it just seemed like the ambulance A sank really, really quickly.
It sank incredibly quickly for that the size of vehicle and the amount of cabin space she had, plus the back.
Yeah.
And like, even with that door open, it wouldn't have sank that quick.
Mm-hmm.
But...
So yeah, so you get her drowning, and then Kalargian resuscitates her, and you know we're supposed to buy that resuscitation is the equivalent of resurrection in her case. So now she's alive again after having already died.
Uh-huh.
So this whole chain is broken, and By my count, that still puts the cop on the list.
She broke her chain.
She broke herself.
See, I think the concept is that because she broke the chain, Death has to completely go back and redo all of its plans, which means that the lists are done. But obviously it does not work because the kid dies later at the barbecue.
Because of the boy at the end.
Yeah. But I think that's what it's trying to portray at the end, is that her whole plan did not actually work.
And I don't know, I think that's just kind of a gratuitous thing there at the end, which kind of was just meh.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Like I said, at this point in the movie, I'm done.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie just got really ridiculous to me. I did like the arm steak part at the end.
Yeah, how do you like your arm? Medium or well done?
Yeah.
In his case, I think it was medium rare. I did see a bit of skin there that wasn't burnt.
Okay, I realize that most of our audience is not going to get this, but do you know what I was thinking at this point? Arm?
Well, for those of you who don't get that joke, you're obviously not Buffy fans.
Yeah, one of the greatest Seth Green lines in Buffy.
Yeah, I gotta give you that.
But, okay, this concludes our roundtable. Which moves us on to Best Buffed. Who wants to start Best Buffed?
I'm going to give this one Best Sequel for a movie that really didn't need one. I think the first Final Destination was complete on its own. It didn't need a closely tied sequel. And although I liked how they... I kind of liked some of how they tried to tie this in. For the most part, the reason you watch these is for the, you know, chain reactions. Not necessarily for the plots, and this one definitely stood out as, you know, it had some good chain reactions, but they were really stretching to make a sequel.
Okay, fair enough. The reason why it had to have a sequel is because, let's face it, it was a popular horror movie, and popular horror movies get sequels.
Yeah, and we really needed a franchise for this genre.
Yeah, I mean,
You've got, you know, we've got our slasher genre franchises and we've got our torture porn franchises, but we didn't really have a good, you know, chain reaction special effects killer or slicer genre. So
we're
also getting a really good action genre.
Yeah.
Action
horror is really good for that.
The Fast Five one that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Go ahead.
But that's my award for it, is best sequel to a movie that really didn't need a sequel. Because out of all the movies that have sequels that don't need them, the sequels are usually a whole lot more terrible than this.
Yeah. Okay, Lisa, best buffed?
Before I do that, I am going to have to clarify something for our audience. Most horror movies make me hungry because of the blood and gore. Don't ask me why. I've always gotten hungry. I will give this one the best horror movie that doesn't make one hungry.
Okay, that's really interesting.
I never got hungry.
That's really interesting because of one of the actual awards that I gave it. Did you have any more before I go into this, Lisa?
Nope.
Okay. One of the awards, I gave it the best sequel tie-in because, in my opinion, it really was an excellent tie-in. For the sequel.
For a horror movie sequel, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, the reason it was interesting what you said, Lisa, is because I actually gave this best buffed called Most Gory Death PS2, which is the most gory death pre-Saw 2.
Which death was that?
A handful of them within this movie, actually.
Well, one had a ladder go through his eye. Come on.
The ladder went through the eye. The guy burning alive in the premonition. The
which
guy getting sliced to pieces.
Yeah, that's still one of my favorite special effect deaths.
What's really weird is it's almost the exact same special effect as Resident Evil, the first one, when the guy gets sliced into pieces by the laser. Is. But
I can't remember which one of these was first.
I don't remember either. I didn't realize that this movie was as new as it was. I thought it was actually late 90s.
Mm-mm.
But.
Oh. First Resident Evil actually came out the year before this.
Okay. So, yeah.
They basically so they kind of stole it the from Resident Evil. Yeah.
But that's okay. It still was really good.
Yeah, this was a very bloody movie.
Yeah,
but
it was.
I never once got hungry. I can't.
Maybe you're getting over it.
Saved my life.
Maybe you're getting over it. Okay, buff
I doubt
quotes.
It.
Lisa?
I have seen Saw.
Yeah, fair enough.
Lisa,
you want to start us off with buff quotes?
Can we go get the guys now? I'm getting horny.
Oh, God.
I did that one just for you, Rod.
Thank you. Thank you. That warms my heart.
Yes, and I'm sure it's your heart that's warmed, Rod.
Right.
Anyway, Carl.
I've actually got two since we said both of them already in our roundtable, but can we find the pregnant woman now, please? And yeah, I'll just put it on quiet mode.
Fair enough.
That would be good.
My original was actually going to be the we were talking about it earlier. Now I can't remember it. The drugs, porno, and paraphernalia line. But I decided not to go with that one. I went with this one, which was another Cokehead quote. What if we're all getting that different strokes curse or something?
I love
oh,
that
yeah,
line.
I had that
me
in the notes. What is that?
The different strokes curse? It's the fact that like all of the child stars on Different Strokes ended up druggies or porno stars or, you know,
dead.
In jail or dead or any combination of those things.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It really had nothing to do with what anybody was talking about in the movie, which just showed how strung out this cokehead was.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
And I've never actually seen Different Strokes, so.
I think I've only seen one or two episodes. But, okay. Where are you playing with your Willy? Carl, you want to start us off?
Okay. Now, in the beginning of this movie, you see a school bus, which is actually a Mount Abram school bus, which is a callback to the first movie. Okay. But on the side of the school bus is a banner, and on the banner they mention a mascot. What's the mascot?
Wildcats?
Lisa?
Oh, that's wrong. I was just guessing.
I really don't remember.
Take a stab in the dark.
Yeah. That's what I did.
I don't know.
Mustangs. Which was actually the mascot of the team that they were supposed to be going to play, because it says, go beat the Mustangs, or something to that effect. Okay. Also in the premonition, when Kimberly sees the little kid crashing the semi and the two toy trucks, and Rod, this question is specifically for you, because it's become a common trope for me to do these. Which hand is holding the semi?
Oh, jeez. Left hand?
He's right.
Lisa? Y'all are going with left hand both?
Uh-huh.
Nope, it was the right.
It was the right.
Yeah, because the semi is actually closer to the passenger side as he's facing the side window.
Lisa, seriously, always pick the opposite, because I always remember them in reverse.
He does.
I always remember them in reverse.
Actually, this time, that's what my problem was. Carl?
Uh-huh.
This is the hand I thought it was.
Nope.
You could tell from the ring.
Yeah,
ladies
what
and
hand
gentlemen,
I'm actually holding up.
Yep. Because you can't actually see what she's talking about. What she's doing is she's stroking Carl's ego.
Right. No.
Her arms aren't that long. I'm almost that well endowed, but not quite. She is sitting, you know, 8 feet from me.
Uh-huh. Stay 6 1/4 inches away.
Wrong movie, Rod.
Damn, I can't get that
hey,
out of
Carl,
my head.
Carl, I don't mind you staying 6 1/4 inches away if you want your ego stroked.
Yeah. Because you can still reach more.
Okay. Facepalm. Anyway. Okay, I believe it's my turn. What are the letters next to the heart rate monitor when they're trying to resuscitate Kimberly?
What are the letters?
There are three letters. What are they?
Here's a stat.
Like on the monitor screen, or?
Yeah.
Oh,
here's a stab in the dark for you. H-E-P. I don't know.
Okay. You're wrong. Carl?
VLP, I don't know.
ASY.
ASY.
It stands for, oh God, what does it stand for? I had it just a minute ago. Assisted.
Oh, it's actually the name of the machine?
No, it's actually, I had it earlier and I don't remember now.
Okay.
Well, but if any of our audience is listening, they can email us with the answer.
Yeah. Okay, what's your next one, Rod?
Sorry, I got caught up in trying to do that. Okay. Well, you answered that one during the round table. Okay, I only got one that wasn't actually answered during the round table, but it's incredibly easy, so.
Okay.
What two gases were used in the movie to create death scenarios?
Oxygen and nitrous.
Yep.
More specifically, nitrous oxide, but yeah.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, they're the only two gases that you see in the entire movie, except for gasoline, which also was used to create a death.
True. I didn't think about that because I was actually talking about gas as the state of matter rather than the...
Right.
Because gasoline is actually...
We figured that out.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Yeah, all the rest of my questions were literally talked about during roundtable or were in the thing. Carl, I guess you won that one, didn't you?
Lisa didn't ask her questions.
Oh, has she not?
I am so forgettable.
I am so sorry, Lise.
Hey, right now I've got 1 point, so, okay. And it's the only point in the table, so.
Go ahead, Lise.
Okay, let's see. How long had it been since Alex had left the house before he died?
1 year.
3 months.
Carl, you're right. It was one-year anniversary, but he had died after being cooped up in his house 3 months, died by a falling brick.
Yeah, I just threw out the first, thing. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
In Kimberly's premonition, what was hanging out of her vehicle?
What was hanging out of her vehicle?
Yep.
Her hand. I don't know.
Nope.
I have no idea.
No, I'm lost on this one.
Her girlfriend's head.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Her girlfriend's head goes, like, up through the moonroof.
Sunroof.
Or sunroof of the car when it flips upside down.
It's funny because that's what's hanging out of my vehicle in a lot of my premonitions. But anyway.
You wish.
Yeah, I do. I really do. Man, that was a nice night. Anyway. Sorry.
Apparently Carl won.
Yeah, I'm guessing Carl won. Wow. So, it's pretty obvious. It's a movie I'm not a particular fan of, but it still stars Allie Larder, so of course I was playing with my Willy. Yeah. Carl, you want to start off our mental debuff?
Well, I was just going to point out that I didn't have to be playing with my Willy, because apparently Lisa was doing it for me.
Oh. See, you have an advantage in this that I don't have.
Uh-huh. You need a girlfriend.
Yeah, I really do.
You need some chick who'll sit down and watch these movies with you that isn't your sister.
Actually, this is the first one that my sisters watched while we were actually taking notes. So, and what's funny is I actually bounced off a lot of my Willy questions with her.
I'm so not even going to touch that statement. You need to go back and rethink
that one. Yeah, you can rethink that.
What's funny is I actually... Ladies and gentlemen, that was not post-editing. That was actually my own vocal talents.
Such as they are.
Huh?
I said such as they are.
Yeah, such
for information
are.
About more of Rod's talents, send your emails and photos to...
Yes. Anyway. Carl, mental debuff, because we really need a debuff right now.
Yeah. Wow. It's all right. Like I said, I'm a fan of the whole chain reaction death genre. Mm-hmm. I really like watching how they do these. So I watch these movies to enjoy that. Other than that, meh, with the exception of, Allie Larder, AJ Cook, and Keegan Tracy. Because, those three are worth watching. All at the same time, naked. Lisa pin at me.
So, Lisa, after you skewer your boyfriend, do you want to debuff real quick?
How about we just debuff him? Anyway.
Oh, hello. You would like that way too much.
Anyway, I do like the Final Destination movies. Mm-hmm. I realize that some of them have been badly done, but they are still enjoyable to watch. And if there are, you know, people out there who like horror, special effects horror movies, this would be a good one. There you go, Rod. That's your
better
turn.
Better than House on Haunted Hill.
It's still not better than the first one, though.
No, it really wasn't. But it was still good.
It was good.
It was still good. Okay. And now it's time for Rod's rants. Can't wait till I start putting special effects into these. It's going to be great. Play some children's music. Anyway.
Hey, I just hope you're not going to sing again.
No, I will not be singing tonight, but it is time for Rod's
rant.
Oh,
thank God.
Kiss my dick. Anyway.
No. You would enjoy it too much.
So I just went back to that scene in that Scary Movie 2 where the guy actually blows himself.
Uh-huh.
That was a disturbing image. Okay, Rod's rants. Final Destination 2 truly was, yeah. There were some redeeming points of this film, approximately 8 of them, 4 on blondes and 4 on brunettes. In all reality, I enjoyed the dialogue, and I like that they continued to develop the originality in the sequel. Beyond that, I have to ask, could the studio not afford a cameraman with a slightly more mild case of Parkinson's? Or any equipment better than Hi-8 and a cassette recorder. Truthfully, I spent half of the movie wondering if it was amateur porno, and the other half waiting for a Creole woman to jump out screaming, "There's a dark force following you, sorry bitches. They gonna shovel your feet 6 feet down because you gonna die." But the really weird part is, they're still doing better than Ned Beatty in Deliverance. And just for one last time, completely unrelated.
Oh, God.
Not my best, but, you know, I had to come up with something.
Yeah, well, it was good.
And I finally got to make a Ned Beatty reference.
Hey, I like the fact that this movie had 4 good points.
Yeah. Okay, guys, join us next week where we'll be taking on Fallen in the Buff, finally a Denzel movie.
Yeah, Denzel and John Goodman. Can it get any better? Seriously.
And what's funny is I've still never seen this movie, so
okay.
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm just going to set this up. Denzel, John Goodman, the Rolling Stones music, and crap. I want to say Liam Neeson, but I think that's the wrong. I think that's the wrong old white haired guy. God, what is his name? I'm drawing a blank. Donald Sutherland. Yep.
Liam Neeson and Donald Sutherland. Really?
No. Denzel, John Goodman, Donald Sutherland, and the Rolling Stones music.
No, I'm just pointing out that you
confused Liam Neeson and Donald Sutherland. Yeah, well.
Okay. Oh, also James Gandolfini. Everybody's favorite New Age mobster.
Yep.
Wow.
Who actually, I think, plays a cop.
Really?
I think.
Elias Koteas, which is...
Yeah, who plays a serial killer.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Look, it's Casey Jones in a movie. Did nobody get that reference? Anyway.
James Gandolfini. He does play a cop. I just saw who he's credited as, and you won't recognize him.
Well, I'm looking forward to this one.
He's sporting the porn stash of all porn stashes. I kid you not.
Wow.
We're going to make fun of his porn stash, I guarantee it.
I am looking forward to some porn stash jokes. So anyway, good night, folks, and remember to keep watching those movies in the buff. It's just better that way.
Good night.
Good night.
Hello, buffers. It's your favorite host. I'm taking a second to let you know you can find us on Facebook and Google+, and have some absolutely naughty conversations with your other buffers. And as always, if you need to talk or flirt with our team of debauchery, you can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com. That's 3 F's. Trust me, we love to talk to our fans, especially the good-looking ones. Movies in the Buff was recorded with Creative Commons, Attribution Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 U.S. License.